Welcome to the Small Business Show. Join us as we have candid conversations with entrepreneurs and experts in the industries to uncover the wisdom and strategies for running a successful business. The Small Business Show is the official podcast of Garuda Promo and Branding Solutions. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Small Business Shows. I'm your host, Swai Ho, the promo guy. Today, my guest is Amanda Abeller. She's the CEO of Make Money Your Honey. Amanda is an award-winning content creator, keynote speaker, and business coach who specializes in helping business owners activate their persuasion power so they can make more money and live more affluent life. Her clients go from hating sales and marketing to achieve 90% close rate and multiple five-figure deals. Her work has been featured in Forbes, Huffington Post, Business Insider, Univision, and many more. How are you doing, Amanda?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited to be here. Finally, I love the setup that you have.
Thank you so much. Would you mind to tell us a little bit more about your background and then a little bit more about what you do?
Right. So I would be happy to. So I actually started an online entrepreneurship in 2010. Tale as old as time, graduated from college, Great Recession, couldn't find a job, and I Googled how to make money writing. So I ended up being a freelance writer for 8 years in finance, and I wrote marketing for companies like Wells Fargo, Discover, Credit Karma, Investopedia. I was one of the writers for them, and I did that for 8 years. I learned a lot about money and the psychology of money and how human beings behave with money and why we make certain decisions with money, which now actually helps me with what I do today. So in 2016, I ran into a problem, and that problem was you cannot scale a writing business, not unless you turn it into an agency. So, I wanted to make more money, but I couldn't take on more clients. I was exhausted. I was overworked. And I just knew I was meant for something bigger. I just have this feeling like this is not it. And I created my first ever training program. It was called, it's still called Persuade to Profit. And basically what I did is I took everything that I learned about marketing and branding and sales that I had learned from doing fundraising when I was 20 to being a recruiter at my last job to starting a whole business and brand from nothing and turning it into a financial writer who's doing marketing for huge banks and campaigns for really large financial institutions. I put that into a training program and I brought it out into the marketplace, and I made more money in 2 weeks than I used to make writing in like 6 weeks.
Wow.
And I went, oh boy, I think I found something. So ever since then, we've just been perfecting the program. We've added a lot of sales training. We specialize in helping women learn how to sell. We help people create their people who are in the same situation I was in, right? Where it was like, oh man, I'm a service-based business and I've created a bit of a dumpster fire. I can't possibly make any more money, but there's also no more hours in the day for me to take on more clients. I got to change some stuff. So we help people with product development. We help them with the understanding the psychology of influence in marketing and sales. And then we also teach some, good old-fashioned sales skills. So one of the things that we do better than anybody else is, in addition to teaching inbound sales, meaning the leads are coming to you, we're teaching outbound sales too. So we'll teach prospecting. We'll teach how to do the calls, pre-qualifying, pre-close intentions. And it's just kind of exploded. I mean, earlier this year we had 2 employees. Now we're up to 4. So we've doubled in a year, and our clients are doing amazing. I mean, yesterday, one of our clients shared with us that she's made 6 figures since July.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I like that story. And I got so many questions for you. So the first question I want to ask you, and I also wanted to try to figure out myself, is, we mentioned we all like to do more. We want to take on more roles, but then, your suggestion is simplify your business to make more money. Where do we find the balance, and how, when you say simplify, what do you mean?
That is such a good question, because I'm in the middle of it right now. So a few years ago, I had a joke in the financial marketing space that Amanda does all the things. And I did. I did all the things. Okay. I did affiliate marketing. I tried selling low price point products. I had group coaching. I did one-on-one coaching. I was a freelance writer. I did brand campaigns. I was a keynote speaker. I was doing all the things at the same time. Right. And it kind of got me to where I wanted to go initially, but at some point it just wasn't working anymore. If I really wanted to build something sustainable over time and make the kind of money I wanted to make, live the way I wanted to live, and more importantly, help the amount of people I wanted to help, I was going to have to make some really big changes, and I had to really simplify. So what ended up happening was I ended up, I didn't know it at the time. Now we've created it into a framework, but we call it the Persuade to Profit framework, and we focus on systems, right? And that has two definitions. One, what is your intellectual property that you're selling that you don't have to trade time for money for? What is it, right? And let's figure that out. Also, sales process. Right? That's also what we mean by a system. I can't tell you how many business owners I speak to on a weekly basis that when I ask them, well, how do you convert a lead to a buyer? They can't tell me. They have no idea. There's no actual process people are moving through. The next thing we go through is influence. Great. How do you do podcasts? Right? How do you use the skill of influence to lead people and become a thought leader in your space and have really effective marketing? And then of course, finally, sales, because I think there's this issue going on, particularly in the online business space, and especially a lot of programs that are being marketed to women. I don't know if it happens as much with the men, but a lot of the programs that are being marketed to women, I mean, they're learning a lot of marketing mindset and manifesting, but no one's teaching them sales. And they're definitely not teaching it properly. So it was those three things. That's how I simplified my business. I created a system. I had a process around that system. I promoted the hell out of myself, right? And I was marketing all the time and just some good old-fashioned sales skills and knowing how to talk to people and close a deal, right? It's just those three things. And oftentimes what I find is we overcomplicate ourselves, like what I was doing previously, which was all the things, right? Or I'll talk to business owners and they'll be like, I'm a coach and I have a skincare line and I do this multi-level marketing. Like there's just way too much going on, right? Or the other thing I find is people who are just starting out their businesses start jumping into things that they're not ready for yet, like a bunch of automations and funnels, right? And it's like, wait a second, we got to go back and do some foundations here and really simplify this. Or other times I'll see business owners that have an overly complicated sales process. Like one of our clients recently would do invite people to a Q&A call with her, right? And then from the Q&A call, invite to a one-on-one session with her. And then from the one-on-one session, she would try and sell them a coaching package. And I said, there's a much easier way of doing this. Let's figure out what you've been doing with people one-on-one, turn it into a scalable program that, you know, they can deliver on video. You can train other people to deliver it. Doesn't take as much of your time, right? And then from the DM, invite them on the phone and sell them into that thing instead of going through all this extra stuff that really just confuses the buyer and overcomplicates your life as the business owner.
Yeah, I think you hit on a very good point, especially how you simplify your business in three key points. I remember a couple of years ago, I was helping a local chamber of commerce for a speed networking event. So we each have 2 minutes to tell the others what we do and things that can benefit us. I remember talking to an individual. He's an accountant. He also volunteer for fundraising. And then he also told me that he's also an actor. So I'm like really confused. Like,
you know what I think it comes from? This is my financial writing background coming into play. Cause I forgot to mention, I also tried an Etsy shop during that time. I did all the things, right? And I think a part of it comes from, we oftentimes hear, millionaires have 7 streams of income. Mm-hmm. And we mistakenly assume that means millionaires have 7 different jobs. That's not what that means. But I think we all make that mistake at some point. I know it happened to me and I see it happens pretty often because there's a misunderstanding of that common financial advice.
Yeah, I wanted to point out, and this is my question, right? Mm-hmm. Getting compensation the way that you want it. You mentioned the intellectual property. What you're really good at, people will actually pay you or consult you to be better, because if you talk to the right advisor or consultant, they speed up the way that you grow at least for 5-10 years if you find a good one, right?
Yeah.
So for us, the challenge that we have right now, we're good at what we do. You know, we can find, you know, in our promotional product space that you know, we can find things that people look for within minutes, where people right. would take weeks to find out. But then people are not willing to pay, you know, a consultant to help them find. So, you know, put it back into a question. So how much should we charge for intellectual property? And then sometimes, you know, we are afraid to ask for more. You know, we're trying to be a commodity instead of a consultant.
It depends on the strategy. You know, we definitely have lower price point products in our business, but I mean, that's really to offset our ad spend, you know, and we'll profit off of some of those campaigns. And then you just upsell people into the bigger thing anyway. So if there's a strategy behind the low dollar thing that makes sense, then go for it. What I find is most people start there and make their lives more difficult, right? So instead, what we need to do is we actually need to focus on the most expensive thing first and selling that, right? So last year in the business, we did 70,000 in sales, right? And that was with me barely being able to do that much because we had some family emergencies and my team wasn't totally trained up yet to do sales. We're working on that now, right? But a part of the reason why is because we deliver a lot of value and we charge a lot of money for that value. So I don't need to talk to 1,000 people in a month. And I think another part of it, and this is how we teach pricing, actually, I do it based on sales statistics, right? Because I think a lot of times people don't realize just the amount of effort sales actually takes, right? So for example, I'd like to give this example. Let me see if I can remember the math off the top of my head, right? So everybody wants to make $10,000 a month. So let's keep the math simple. Let's say you want to make $10,000 a month and you're selling something for $500. You would have to close 20 people, right, at that $500 price point to get to your $10,000. If we're looking at average sales close rates across industries, 20% is an average, which means you would have to have 100 phone calls to get to those 20. And to even get those 100 on the phone in the first place, you're looking at talking, getting in front of at least 1,000 to 2,000 people, right? You don't have that kind of time. I didn't, right? I still don't have that kind of time. So I think a lot of people, because they don't have that context with the data and the math, which is what we focus on really hard when we teach our clients pricing, then they can ask themselves, wow, do I even have time to talk to 2,000 people? Do I have the audience to talk to 2,000 people? No, I don't. Okay, then we need to rearrange this and the price needs to go up.
Okay, I think you hit on, again, a very good point. You know, I think some listener would challenge that, you know, I'm really good at cold call. I can call like 100 people a day. But then my thinking is, because I get cold calls all the time, and then as a salesperson, I actually do want to listen to their pitch, like how good are they? Can I learn something from that? But then a lot of them goes into autopilot mode. They just read off from a script. I can tell
yep.
right away. Then mm-hmm. I shut off. But then sometimes they do ask me questions, and sometimes they actually know about what I do, and you know, I can connect and relate to them a little more. But I think the question that I want to bring out is, you know, a lot of us, when we started out, we have a fear of selling. Maybe we're really good at what we do. Maybe we're a good cook. Maybe, like you said, you're a good writer. We're really at top of the game what we do. But then we tying into the compensation, we hate to ask people for money for what we do. And then we even fear of calling people and kind of solicit and disrupt their day to ask them, maybe you should use our services. So how would you encourage them and advise them to do?
You know, there's a lot of reasons why people are afraid of selling. I think we've all, you know, had horrible experiences as customers, and that's a part of the reason why we're afraid of sales. I know I have. I'm sure you have. And now that I understand sales, I'm always critiquing people's sales skills, right? But everybody's had a horrific experience where they felt like they weren't listened to and they were steamrolled, right? I think that's a part of it. I think another part of it is we're told not to promote ourselves because we don't want to annoy people. That's a big one for women, right? I think another one is, I think sometimes people go into the sales, speaking of them reading off a script, I think sometimes they go into the sales situation thinking about themselves and their bills and how they sound like and their credit card and their payroll and their business and what am I going to get out of this rather than focusing on, are they judging me right now? So the focus is all on themselves, right? Versus how can I just help the person that's in front of me right now? That's really all sales is, right? Is helping people. That's it. That's all it is, right? But we make up, not make up, but we've been conditioned to make all these stories about it in our heads, right? And then that's why people are so uncomfortable doing it. But once they understand, number one, you're allowed to be yourself, right? You have to understand the mechanics and then put your personality into it and be yourself and you'll be great, right? Number two, they need to understand that it really is about helping people and making sure that they are taken care of. That is all sales is, right? And that's number two. And number three, right? I think number three actually is the only way to get good at sales is to do it. People, our clients fight us on it. You know, like people will fight it, right? There's a lot of resistance, right? Like, do I really have to set up 100 phone calls in the next 3 weeks? I'm like, yeah, right? Why? Because the only way to get good at sales and understand this stuff, I could teach you theory and mechanics all day long, but until you get on the phone and actually start moving through this, you're going to be in the same spot. Like nothing's going to change.
Yeah, I think practice makes perfect too. Maybe mm-hmm. you have a certain pitch and you have the certain spills that you're going to do. If you're really afraid, you know, what I've done for myself before, I call my wife first and you call your friends too, because obviously they know who you are. They probably listen right. to you and you warm up yourself. And then maybe I dial for 2 to 3 people that I know will listen to me. And then I start on others and I start right. on others. And then when you get, you know, more feedback, you get better, you know, you change the wordings that you have, and then you go after the more difficult people. So it's like, you right. know, riding a bicycle, you know, you fall, but then as you do more, you get better. And then
you get more really used good. To it. And it's yeah. constant practice. I mean, my team and I are going to start training daily, myself included, because I could always get better. Yes, I teach this stuff, but I want to be phenomenal, you know, and I want them to be phenomenal. We're going to start training every day as a team on how to do sales. The other thing I will say for those who are really scared about it, one thing that really helped me when I was very uncomfortable is pretty much exactly what I just said, which was I wasn't focused on the numbers. I wasn't focused on being perfect. I wasn't focused on me. I was just like, okay, I'm committing to mastering a skill set. And when I said that, I feel like internally it gave me permission to make mistakes and just learn from them.
Okay. So since I have you here, I have to ask you this question. You're an influencer. You know, you talk to a lot of people. Your work has been on, you know, a lot of high-profile publication. Do you think as a business owner, being an influencer will help? And we have to define influencer. It's not yeah. just, you know, to post picture on there. You know, some of us, you know, the work actually changed the market. Do you think we have to go to the top level to be successful, or you could be in the middle level and still making good progress for your business?
I mean, I don't think I'm at a top level by any means, and I make more money than some people who have millions of followers. So I think there's lots of layers to unpack here. Right? So number one, should you have a personal brand? Yes, absolutely. It makes the sales easier. Do you need to be promoting your business? Absolutely, you need to be promoting your business. But rather than being an influencer, right, I would focus more on how does this fit into my business? Because that's where a lot of influencers go wrong, is they don't think like business people, right? So they have all these followers, and it happened to me in my first business. It's happened to tons of clients of ours. My TikTok went viral. You know, I have all these followers on Instagram. I don't know what to do with them. Happens all the time, right? So I think it's really important that what is the business model? And then that goes back to that customer process we were talking about earlier, that you have to learn how to turn them from a social media follower, someone commenting, someone engaging, right? And move them through a process to turn them into a buyer. So that's number one, right? And then the last thing is I don't think you need to be an influencer per se, in the way that we think about it in this social media age. But I do think you need to understand influence, right, as a skill set in order to do your marketing well, in order to sell well, in order to, you know, when you start hiring people, that's all influence. You have to lead them, right? So I feel like the skill set of influence and understanding the psychology of influence, that is super important, and the rest will kind of take care of itself.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, and it's a no shame self-promotion, right? You know, I don't need to be the top person in our industry, but I do want to be the person. So when you think of the promotion or product industry, you think about the promo guy. So that's it. You know, I don't need to go to the top and to be the star and speak at conference, but only if people think about, you know, something that we can help, then
there's,
you know,
a purpose to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's intentional, right? So that's I think for influencers, when we think about that in the social, and I've done campaigns as an influencer for big brands, right? And that's always the problem, right? Is like, we didn't think like business owners, right? We weren't thinking. Now I'm like, yeah, I'm going to use my social media. Hey, these are all leads. How are we moving them through the process? Who's talking to who? Who's taking care of who, right? But it's far more intentional, right? And it's using that influence intentionally. And where a lot of people go wrong when they think about being an influencer, to your point, is that it's not intentional. So I'm happy to hear that that's what you're doing, because to me, it sounds like, no, there's actually a strategy behind this. You know, I tell my team all the time, I don't want to be famous. I don't care. Right. But it's about using the influence to help people. And then it's intentional.
I think that kind of complement the fear of selling. So if you are, you know, really good and really famous per se, you know, there will actually be some people who are drawn to that and reach out to you. So I think for doing what I've been doing for the past year, it kind of helped, because, you know, people do see you on different platforms. Let's say because we are live on LinkedIn now, you know, we get the exposure that we have with our specialty. So when you talk to a person who might or might not have seen your post, then it's better than if someone just called them out of the blue, try to offer them something, compared to if you have seen the person, you know, being as a point of focus on that particular topic. So I think that kind of helps on the fear of selling. If you're, if you don't want to do cold call, maybe be an influencer will work better. Or maybe you have, you know, like Amanda, have your article published in, you know, well-known magazine and publication. So that will also help, you know, getting your name out there too.
Absolutely. That you nailed it right on the head. That's exactly what it is. And the way that I teach that actually in our program is, I'm like, look, in traditional sales, there was this thing called building rapport. I mean, it's still a thing, right? But you know, if you're it used to be like, oh, let me call them, let me do an office visit, let's go to Starbucks, let me ask about the kids, let me ask about the dog. Like, that's what it was to like build that relationship and that trust. I'm like, you don't need to do that in the age of the internet. You just need to put really great content out there. Now, I want to say there's one caveat to this, because I will speak to so many business owners who are like, I'm putting content and no one's buying. And then they think they have a marketing problem, right? I'm like, that's not a marketing problem. That's a sales problem. Like, we got to talk about your sales process and the sales skills, because a lot of people confuse marketing and sales.
Okay. So how would you suggest, you know, when people, I do talk to a lot of small business owners, they said, you know, we're putting content out there, we're on all the social platforms, but it's not working. So
it's not working. Yeah, I hear that a lot. And I'm like, did you reach out to every single person who's engaged? And usually the answer is no. What do I say? What do I do? What's the script, right? So then we have to really teach that sales process where it's like, great, they engage, reach out. Walk them through the pre-qualifying process, and we teach them what that is. Get them on the phone if you can solve a problem and if they have the means to pay you, and then, you know, close the deal, right? I'm oversimplifying it right now, right, for sake of time. But normally when that's happening, when I ask the question, did somebody reach out, right, the answer is no. And I'll hear the same thing. Our email marketing campaign didn't work. Did someone like call people? Like, are you tracking who clicked on a sales page? Did somebody call them? Did somebody text them? Like, did you do anything else other than post on social media and send an email? And the answer is usually no, because that goes back to my point. Most people are learning marketing, but they're not learning sales.
That's very interesting. And it kind of, I think, subconsciously, you know, get us into just live streaming on LinkedIn, because, you know, in the beginning, for our business too, we try to be on a lot of different social media. But I'm watching the data. We get the most interaction on LinkedIn because, you know, we do more B2B. You know, that's why, you know, I want to be on LinkedIn Live. I wanted to, right. you know, do the show. So, you know, we get more airtime, right? You know, to be on there. The other platform are good. You know, TikTok is very popular. But then it's, you know, you got to ask yourself, where are your target audience? Where are
right. For us, yep. it's a lot of LinkedIn, it's a lot of Instagram, and it's a lot of Facebook. And now we're working on YouTube because we're starting to hear from prospects like, oh man, I found you on YouTube and I watched all the videos. I'm like, time to get YouTube together. But it's because we're hearing the data from people.
Yeah, YouTube is nice because you could build your own playlist, or maybe you can watch the whole video you know, in the first run. So you can save it, watch it later on your big screen TV. So I think that works. But then really, I think for people who are listening or who think it doesn't work for me, but you got to put in a little bit more time, or you hire a professional to tell you, you know, where are your clients? You know, how would they mm-hmm. like to consume their content?
That's literally the first thing we put clients through in the first 2 weeks of our Persuade to Profit program. Cause a lot of them will come to us and they have not done the foundational homework to get the data that they need to know, oh, I should be doing video. Oh, I should be on Instagram. Oh, this is the kind of content I should be putting out there. Oh, here's my product. Most people haven't done it. What most business owners do is they either skip to the sexy stuff, right? Meaning the funnels, the branding, the photo shoots. They procrastinate and they think they spend like 3 hours trying to figure out their logo. No one cares about the logo, right? Or the other thing that happens is they end up creating products and services based on their point of view, but never from the point of view of the market. So literally like week one of our program, that is the first thing we put all our clients through. And even if they already have a business, like we've had people who already have six-figure businesses and they'll be like, I already know all that. And I'm like, we're still going to put you through it because I guarantee you miss something and you're overcomplicating something. Lo and behold, that's the case and their sales double.
Wow. Okay. That's a good, you know, you can grab people's interest for that. You know, if you think you have it already, you know, think of it again if you wanted to double your business.
Yeah. It's constantly changing. I mean, my team and I, we're like reviewing marketing every 90 days. It's the ever evolving thing. You know, it doesn't just, it's constantly changing. It never stays the same. So you have to keep tabs, you know, and one of the things that, it's interesting because we just hired a salesperson and we're all going to start training on sales as a team. And some of the resistance that I had to it, right? Because I had resistance, right? Some of the resistance that I had was letting go, because part of the reason that I like sales is because I like to be in those conversations so that I have my thumb on the pulse of what's going on, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, well, if I start moving away from this, which I'm not, but I was making up a bunch of stories in my head about how that's what I was doing, right? Oh, I'm not going to have my thumb on the pulse and I'm not going to know what's happening. I'm going to get out of touch, right? So now we're all training together and obviously we're going to do collective intelligence and all that stuff, but it's constantly changing. And to your point earlier about like, you need to give it time. Yeah, you need to give it time. We have YouTube videos that I published 2 years ago that nobody viewed. And then earlier this year, one of them just started taking off. And it was a video I posted 2 years ago. You just need to give stuff time.
Yeah, people do discover, you know, YouTube video, or maybe it becomes a trend right now. Maybe the topic, people weren't paying interest, but, you know, whatever changes in your particular market, you know, people now searching for those content and you right to be there at the right time. So now, you know, I'm talking about this 2 years already. So
I think, you know, part of it, I'm sure you've seen it with business owners, is we want instant gratification. And that's not at all how this works.
Yeah, we all like that. We all like to be in the frame and, you know, we want a million hits and a lot of us don't get that. And, you know, but then going back to what you're saying, if you're making progress in your business and you're making sales, don't really mind having...
Yeah, I mean, it's just vanity metrics at that point. You know, I think there was a story, I forgot who it was, but there was an influencer who had millions of followers, tried to sell t-shirts and she made like $37.
Well, that's another story. You know, I could go into it. They need someone to advise them.
Yeah.
I want to ask you for a question, especially Why did you name your company Make Money Your Honey?
And then- this is a good story. So it's actually the name of my book from when I was a writer. I self-published a book on Amazon called Make Money Your Honey. It took a while for this to click, actually. So that's actually our DBA. My business is registered under Amanda Abeya LLC, and the Make Money Your Honey is the DBA. Because again, it didn't register until way later. When I wrote that book, I was like, I'm going to be a writer forever. I was not thinking about what I'm doing now. Like, employees were not a thing, training programs, not a thing. I was just writing a book. And when I interviewed people for that book, everything that they were asking me about at the time was productivity, sales, and the relationship with money, like how they could have a better relationship with money. And I was doing like a one-on-one call with a client back when I still did one-on-one coaching, way back then when I had no idea what I was doing. And we were just going back and forth about something. And she said, make money your honey. And I said, there it is. There it is right there. So that was the name of the book. And then many years later, when I wasn't a writer anymore and I transitioned into marketing and sales training, I was like, wait a minute, this still makes sense. Because I was writing about sales 7 years ago now. I was writing about sales in a book before I was even training people on how to do sales. Right. And also, it's all about having a good relationship with money. You know, we teach sales oftentimes from the perspective, because I was a financial writer for 8 years. You know, I understand the behavioral psychology of what people do with money. And we teach sales from that perspective. So you understand your own triggers about money, and you also understand everybody else is triggered about money too. And if you understand that, and then you understand the mechanics of sales, you're going to be a better salesperson. Most people are walking around out here constantly triggered by money. And that's why you get bad sales experiences where people are, you know, trying to shove something down your throat because they're worried about their car note.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So Amanda, I know we could go on forever, but for the sake of time, you know, obviously people have individual questions that works for them. What would be the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah. So if we're on LinkedIn, you can DM me on LinkedIn. For those of you who are watching there, we are there in there every day in that inbox. You know, you can also, for the women who are watching this, we have a group called High Ticket Sales for Women Coaches and Course Creators. We do free weekly trainings in there once a week. So we actually just did a training this week. You asked about pricing. We did a training about how to attract high ticket buyers with high dollar offers. That was our training this week. It's totally free. So if you want to join us in there and engage in our weekly trainings, all you have to do is text the word join, J-O-I-N, to 833-321-0314.
Thank you so much, Amanda. You've been a great guest, you know, answering all the questions that, you know, we have, you know, as a small business owner. And then I'll list all the information she just mentioned on the show notes. And so feel free to reach out and check out more works from Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Bye.